Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is
Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short.
Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
All right, and we're rolling.
We're rolling.
Hit it.
Great. Welcome back, folks, to Hoot and a Half. I'm Matt King.
And I'm Mike Sheffer.
And thank you so much for listening, subscribing, and tuning in, and leaving all the kindest reviews. We've read all of them, and it means so much. Right, Mike?
It really is such a lovely thing to wake up every day and just see all the slew of new reviews that come in, all the kind words, all the Instagram stories that you guys have posted. Just thank you so much to everyone who listens.
And as you know, we did not put out an episode last week. We felt, Mike and I, that it was appropriate for us to give a pause for what was going on and give you guys an opportunity to educate, listen, participate, and donate any way you could for the Black Lives Matter movement, which we completely stand for, which we encourage you guys to support any way you can. And I'm actually very excited about this episode you are about to listen to because we and Mike would, I guess we would call it our pilot episode.
Yeah, we weren't sure exactly when we invited Carly what the plan was. We just had this idea to start a podcast, and she's a great friend of ours that we trusted to sit down and have a conversation. So
yeah, because I was pretty nervous about starting my own podcast, and I wanted to have my first conversation with somebody who I felt so comfortable and could talk so easily with, and that was my dear friend Carly Encontro. So this episode you're about to listen to was technically our very first, and it's the first time I ever had a mic in my hand sitting down with somebody who I really do care about, and I'm so excited for you guys to listen to this episode. If you don't know who Carly Encontro is, she's a dear friend of mine. You may know her from Vine, YouTube, her YouTube channel with Aaron Guilfoy. And yeah, so without further ado, here is the third episode, but technically the first episode of Hoot and a Half.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Looking to start a side hustle or become your own boss? Do it with Shopify. Whether you're selling succulents or stilettos, Shopify has the industry-leading tools to help you create, control, and grow your own business. So get serious about selling and get Shopify today. Sign up for a £1 per month trial period at shopify.co.uk/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.co.uk/special offer.
I just want to say, Carly, I'm so happy that you're here. I'm so happy that we're doing this. And I'm so happy that you're my first guest on my podcast.
I thought you were going to say I'm so happy you're my friend.
That too. Because we've been friends now for what, like 5 years?
Yeah, I think it's been like 5 years probably.
Five and a half years?
Friends that whole time, I would think.
Maybe even 6 years if we count like being friends on the internet before we even like met in person.
Did we? Were we friends on the internet before? I don't remember. And I feel like an ass.
Well,
but all of that's like a blur to me right now.
This is how I remember it. So I remember being in college my senior year. So this is 2013, 2014. And Vine was popping. I'd been watching Vine for a year, but I wasn't making Vines. And then you, I would see on Vine occasionally, and I knew you were really funny. And then one time on Reddit, Andrew Marbach, who you were friends with, and Ricky Montgomery, someone uploaded a video compilation of Vines onto Reddit, and it was one of the top videos. And someone was like, finally, a Vine compilation that's actually funny. Or something. And you were in Andrew Marbach's Vines. And I was like, oh, that's that pink hair girl, Carly Encontro. She's really funny. And I was like following you and I would like your stuff. And then you like followed me one time. And I remember it. I remember exactly being in my college bedroom sitting at my desk when you followed me.
Where were you when Carly Encontro followed you?
I just remember it, like when something happens,
you remember where you were.
Exactly. I do. And that had to have been like, no, it was spring semester. It was spring of 2014. But we still were like kind of friends, but I didn't meet you until like July after I moved to LA.
Yeah. And then I just remember I hung out with you and Zane a lot when I would visit. And I was like, these guys are like my best friends already. Like right when we first started hanging out.
Right.
And I did not want to leave.
And what's a funny thing is like the night I actually met you in person was the exact same night I met Zane in person.
We met Zane the same night, I think, which is crazy.
We met so many people that night. And that was during VidCon. Mm-hmm. And that was like the first week I had moved to LA. And it was at the House of Blues at Anaheim. Yep. Collab, which is like the creator network a lot of us had like signed up and were a part of, had hosted a party during VidCon. It was like the perfect weekend. And you, I remember this, you were there, but you were with like Brandon Calvillo and Jesse Calvillo.
Oh my God, yeah.
You were rolling with the Calvillo brothers. And they were like, Brandon Calvillo was like top dog, had like millions of followers. And I was like, oh shit, Carly's hanging out. Brandon Calvillo. And I went up to you and I said, hey, Carly, it's me. And he kind of looked at me like, I don't know who you are.
No, not like that, though.
Not like that. I think, but you were probably like kind of overwhelmed because there were a lot of people at the party.
Yeah. I also have a really bad quality about myself where I do not remember faces very well at all. Like we were watching The Bachelor and someone showed me one of their Instagrams and I was like, I don't know who that is.
Do you think you have that
face blindness?
Yeah. Isn't that?
I don't know. It's weird because like obviously if I talk to someone for a while, I'll recognize them later.
Well, I'm Matt and that's Mike over there.
Oh shit. I've been talking to the wrong person this whole time.
This whole time she's been like, Mike has been talking.
I thought I was on Views right now. No, I guarantee though, I probably just saw you and was like, I can't put a face to a name, but like obviously knew who you were if I was looking at Vine.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But oh my God.
But then what's funny is you say that because then I looked to Jesse Calvillo right next to you, Brandon's brother, and I go, you're Brandon, right? And
he goes, shit.
No, I'm Jesse. That's my Brandon's my brother. And I was like, oh. And I was so embarrassed. I was like, fuck, I messed it up. They're going to hate me. This is the worst thing ever. I shouldn't have moved to LA. But
I'm moving home because of this.
Yeah.
Did you guys message each other before you met, or it was just like you were following each other?
I don't remember.
I did. See, I can remember everything. I have a very good memory. No, what I did was I sent you a video on the Vine's DMs after she followed me. And it was like me when I found out you followed me. And I was like, and it was like the Goonies, Cyndi Lauper song, like, good enough for me. And I was like dancing to it. You probably don't even remember that.
I probably watched it. But I don't remember.
You're so funny. Love your vines or something.
Oh my God. Love your vines.
And then 2 weeks later, sorry, who are you?
Yeah, I know. I hate that. I'm sorry.
And then I think even one time I was trying to get your attention on Vine because you posted a Vine where you're like, guys, can someone explain to me why, how do blinds like protect you from lightning when it's like storming outside? Do you remember this?
I don't think I posted a Vine.
It was like a quick, but it wasn't a joke. It was like, I think it was on maybe Carly Incognito, your side account.
Blinds protect you from lightning?
It was like storming outside and you were like having a conversation with your friend. It would be like if you would just ask your Instagram story today, like what their thoughts were on something. Yeah. And you were asking like, you know, like they say blinds protect you from lightning when you're inside your house, right? Don't they say that?
I've never heard that.
I think maybe I meant like window. Maybe I was tripping out about windows.
Am I not saying windows? I'm saying blinds.
I know
windows.
That if you're in your car, it's like supposed to be good. It's like a safe place because the rubber will absorb the electricity. But I don't know about like window shades.
Window shades like these, when it's storming, you actually should have them drawn because if lightning strikes it. I'm pretty sure that that's true. And you were asking about that. And I was trying to like give you information because I was Googling it.
Of course you were.
And by the time I like got the response, you had deleted the Vine, I think.
Oh, sad. I'm sorry, Matt.
But it's okay.
Well, you can tell me now.
I'll look into it. I don't even know what the answer is. But then you would come and visit L.A.
Yeah.
You came during Halloween.
Yeah, and then that's a bunch of times.
Well, let's paint the picture here. What year is it? Where are you living? Where are you at in your lives?
I'm living in Ladera Heights.
I'm
working at Apple.
In California, in L.A.
In L.A.
Okay.
Making vines.
Post-college.
And making money.
Post-college.
And making hella money.
Post-college.
Okay. And Carly was living in Nebraska.
I was living in Nebraska, still going strong at Target, finishing college.
Omaha, Nebraska,
Omaha,
right?
Omaha, Nebraska, yep.
Do you know,
Cornhusker State.
It's so funny that you're like from Nebraska. In Omaha specifically. Do you like being from Nebraska? Are you like a big like Nebraska pride person? Like your heart will always be in Nebraska?
Definitely or? Not, but I'm
have you
I
ever
don't
spent
regret
any
it.
Time with her?
I know.
Well, he's painting the picture for the audience, I guess. Yeah. I mean, I think it's like I like that I'm from there because whenever I tell someone every time I tell someone I'm from Nebraska, their response is always like, "What?" Or like, "Oh, what was that like?"
Yeah.
But it's totally it's literally like here but with less people. It's a huge city. Like I went to high school with people. Like, I would see people every day at high school that I had never seen before, almost every day. Like, uh-huh. It was a huge high school. But, yeah, I was, I don't know, I can't remember how old we were even when we were doing Vines. Like, I can't remember if I was, like, 20 or
I was
24.
Definitely, like, 21.
But, so you okay. would come in, you would come just visit LA? Or, like, were you visiting specific people or, like?
Yeah. I don't remember exactly, but I would, like, one time I came with Aaron and Ariel, who were my first roommates. And we were, like, looking for apartments, in quotes, but we never actually did. We just got drunk and partied that whole weekend with everybody. And then, yeah, I would just, like, stay with different people. And I just loved L.A. I loved it so much. And then, hello?
Oh, so oh. Someone's buzzing in yeah. right now at the apartment. Who is it?
My food.
Oh, you got yes. food. You decided to order food during the podcast, Mike.
I ordered it before the podcast, and it was supposed to be here. I paid for it to be here early. Like, I did the special, like, rush feature, but they didn't make it in time. So I'll just put
sad.
It in the fridge.
Okay.
It's okay. We don't really care.
All right. So you come and visit LA.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. I'm getting so ultra. What was the question?
Well, no. Well, yeah. So Carly, like me, we had a pretty good, like, sense of friend group of a lot of people who did Vine. And when she would come visit LA, we would all kind of meet up and everything, right?
Yeah, we'd meet up. I remember me and Aaron stayed at like Brendan McNerney's, and I think I don't know if you were living there yet. Or
I
not.
Wasn't living there yet. Yeah, I was still working that job at Apple's ad agency.
Yeah, but that time, I feel like it's like the last time we visited before we moved there. I was like, these are my friends.
Yeah,
which was crazy.
We stayed up so late one day, and this is like back when meme culture, like.
Wasn't
Twitter wasn't as strong as it was. Instagram memes, like all of that, wasn't as big as what it was. It was just like Tumblr.
Yeah.
And Carly had this Tumblr that was so funny. She would just like reblog like memes and stuff on Tumblr. And her, me and Zane stayed up like all night.
Yeah.
Like just sharing little memes with each other.
And just dying laughing.
Dying laughing.
Do you still have that Tumblr?
I do. Yeah.
Have you updated it in a while?
No, I haven't looked at it in a really long time. And it's weird because at the time, that humor is so funny, but now I think if we look at it, it's like bottom tier humor for us because everything is
we
so much
like,
funnier now.
We
like
were just
TikToks.
Like moms on Facebook, like seeing yeah. like just like a funny meme for the first time and being just like, oh, this is a good one.
Yeah, it's because it was new to us and it was such a funny way to go about making fun of people or
yeah.
certain, I don't know, certain things or moms on Facebook. Yeah.
Right.
Just like when you first encounter that type of humor, you just take it all in, and then
yeah.
looking back now, like, yeah, the memes that we find today are just not.
You know what's so funny too? The first time I encountered humor like that, it's so random. I came across this like nursing school Facebook page or something, and it was literally, I don't know how I got on it, but it was all these memes about like geared toward nursing students, and it was like me when I haven't slept in 4 days and have 4 exams, like blah blah, and I thought it was so funny just because of the humor.
Yeah, it's like daytime workers versus the night shift.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Like, there's actually some dude on I don't know, on YouTube who does like nurse comedy, like about being a nurse,
oh,
like nurses be like, and I watch them, but I'm not a nurse, but
yeah, they're
I get
interesting.
It like how funny it is.
Yeah, it's really funny.
And so
yeah,
she had a Tumblr, and I'll just never forget that night of us just like hanging out, just like
I know.
Just our bellies on the carpet just stretched out all over her phone dying
giggling.
Laughing
just
and
giggling.
Yeah, that was like a really great time. And so
I mean, not much has changed. We still hang out and laugh and show each other funny
and
memes
and
like
TikToks.
Yeah,
and
yeah. Now it's just funny.
Now it's just TikToks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very good point.
And but then, so you would still come and visit occasionally, like every few months, and then you and Aaron finally made the big leap and actually then bought an apartment that was right around the corner from Brendan's. I moved
yeah.
into Brendan's.
You yes. bought an apartment?
Well, no, we
not
rented.
Bought an apartment. Just like moved in and rented
rented
it
one.
Out.
It's so funny too because we had a running joke when we were looking for apartments. How close is it to Brendan's? Because we didn't know anything yeah. about LA or like how close things were. And we didn't even know this apartment was around the corner. Arielle just found it and she was like, let's go look at this place. And we were like, how close is this to Brendan's? Like, actually. And we Googled it. And we're like, oh my God, we can walk there in 5 minutes.
Yeah, complete walking distance. And there was a Taco Bell on the way too. So it was just like,
oh, perfect.
The perfect. Like, you had Friendship and Taco Bell.
Store.
And the liquor store. Yeah, we could hit it like all
you
all
need.
Up. Even though that was apparently one of the most dangerous intersections in all of Los Angeles. Like, in terms of.
Crime.
Pedestrian, like,
and crime.
Accidents.
There's a
and
shooting
crime.
Across the street from that apartment.
It was hardcore.
Where is this? What part of L.A.?
East
Hollywood.
Like, Western and Santa Monica Boulevard. Like, near, like, Little Armenia.
Whoa, that's, in, like, not this area at all.
No,
it is.
So I was so happy when I moved out.
Yeah, this is such a nice, like, place to live for.
So when you were moving out here, were you scared? Did you think that you were going to, like, make it still, like?
It's so weird because when I went to college 40 minutes away from my house, and I was so homesick. I would come home almost every weekend because I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. Like, why did I move? And then when I moved to LA, I had zero problems, regrets, like fears, anything. It was so weird too because, yeah, when we moved, we stayed on Airbnb for like 2 weeks to find an apartment. And then we found an apartment, that one. And I was like getting all these smaller Vine brand deals and Twitter brand deals and stuff like that. That would keep me afloat. I did save up a lot too.
Right.
So I was using.
Oh yeah. You had
money.
Like saved up big time from working at Target.
Oh yeah. I was working overtime during the holidays, but I also loved that job. So I didn't mind at all doing that. But yeah, I never really worried about it. And then, yeah, we started doing YouTube and that was really crazy.
Yeah. And then
fun.
It just like transitioned really well. I was like, so nervous when I had my job at Apple that, like, yeah, there's this like Vine thing going on, but I have to have this big boy job because I had gone to university. I had worked so hard to like land that in. There's no way that I want to like just jeopardize this to do a little tiny little Vine deal. But then I realized all of you guys were all hanging out and having all this like fun time to collaborate and make all these Vines. I was like, if I want to be a part of that and not be stressed out my job, because I was working an account service job, you mentally have to be on like 110% for a job like that. And if I'm just like kept looking at my phone, watching Vines all day, my mind was like mush. I was like, I don't really know what's going on with
like
all this.
Needing to write like a 3-paragraph email like in the middle of the day. Versus.
Yeah.
And then you're like, Zane's posting a brand deal for Clorox. Zane just made $6,000 in 6 seconds.
No way. I got to take the leap. So yeah, then I quit, moved in.
Imagine if you still work there now and you just see us all the time.
I think about that so much. And that was probably one of like the best decisions I ever could have made, was quitting that job. And you hear about it with like a lot of people when they ask for like advice, like, how did you guys get into this whole like internet world stuff? I have this job right now. I'm still in school. Yeah. Should I quit school? Like, and it's weird, like those moments in your life, you think like, oh, is it the thing that scares you? Is that really what you should be doing? Should you make that decision? Should you make that leap? And that was one where I'm like, oh yeah, I actually don't regret doing that at all.
Yeah.
Did you work at Target here, or are you like,
no,
you just, once you moved here, that was it?
Yeah, I did like a leave of absence just in case, because I was like, maybe I could work there or here in L.A. But
and you
never
got
did.
A real like a real job when you came to L.A.? You
no.
just immediately started doing the social media stuff?
Yeah. I never had a legit
job. Do you go into Target now and you like have like a better sense of like respect for it? Or are there like
definitely,
little like secrets or like things
it's
that
like
you know?
It's like the Disneyland TikTok.
Yeah, yeah,
it's like
yeah.
secrets about Disneyland. You know. No, there's nothing that crazy, I feel like, that I could tell you.
Well,
except, like, you don't need a receipt to return something if you bought it on a credit card, like,
oh,
something
right.
like that. You don't need, but that's not interesting at all.
What I can't handle about these TikTok, well, so, what I can't handle now is everyone leaking all these secrets about, like, Chuck E. Cheese's and, like, arcade games, so.
Oh, yeah, you worked at Chuck E. Cheese
yes,
back in the day.
I worked at Chuck E. Cheese's.
Wait, what's a Chuck E. Cheese secret that is out now?
Yeah.
Well, someone on TikTok the other day was like, hey, guys, if you go to Chuck E. Cheese, if you want to win a lot of tickets on this game, you can actually open up this flap on the side, and you can control the wheel and get the spinning wheel to stop, and you get 150 tickets. And that guy who was doing it was a game room attendant. I had that job. So part of me is like, okay, good for anybody who sees it and gets 150 free tickets. But you're kind of like spoiling the whole magic of the Chuck E. Cheese game room.
And now all these kids are going to go do it.
Yeah.
They see the TikTok.
But then I know that like drives me crazy how like people like what are game room attendants having to do now? Like now that all the secrets get out about the tickets.
They got to make new games and new secrets. Got to evolve, adapt.
I know, and now there's like there's no coins at Chuck E. Cheese's anymore.
What do you scan a QR code?
It's like a
wristband.
No, the card. It's like a game card. You just like beep it, in play. There's no coins.
Oh, like the little Chuck E. Cheese coins?
The tokens, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
So it's like Dave and Buster's, kind of.
Yeah, pretty much. And I used to have to do token jams, all of that. So my job is like
what's
obsolete.
A token jam?
Not doing a token
jam. A token jam. You know what a token jam is. It's
come
when
on,
all the,
Mike.
The tokens
a token jam.
Get jammed.
Oh, I thought like a jamboree, like for the like you all like put your tokens,
hey guys,
in the middle and play the guitar around the fire.
Token jam at Chuck E. Cheese's tonight.
Exactly. Like you all bring your tokens and you like it's like a concert or something with your tokens. Okay, not what I thought it was at all.
So yeah, I worked at Chuck E. Cheese's, but you worked at Target. Where did you work, Mike?
My first job was Cold Stone Creamery, and we had to learn all the
nice
songs because you have to. If they tip you at Cold Stone, you have to sing a song that's like a
is that embarrassing?
It should have been, but I had like two friends from high school that like absolutely loved it. They were like theater kids, so uh-huh, they would like even just sing the songs for free. But it was like they would take like the Flintstones theme song and then just put ice cream like stuff into it. So it's like anyway.
Wasn't that crazy?
It's yeah. But I did work at Target. That was also my favorite job. I worked at Target throughout high school.
Both of you worked at Target.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Have you guys talked about this before?
A little bit.
A little bit. Yeah.
Where did you work again at Target?
Well, in New Jersey, but I did like the zoning and the floor. Like the,
oh yeah, that's what I did.
You knew all like the terms though. What's it called? Like the when you do the floor stuff.
Like the poles?
Yeah, the see, like
doing
she knows
poles,
like all the
yeah,
like,
the poles,
yeah,
uh-huh,
out,
like backroom poles, and she knows like what channels you like you're supposed
channel
to be on.
Two,
channel
yeah,
two,
channel
yeah,
one,
like
channel two, channel. Well, something crazy is happening. Can you go to channel 3? Can I get a GSTL to go to channel 3, please?
Me and my friends, we would try to get walkie talkies, and we put it on scan, and we would try to like listen to like the local stores around us. Like I think one time we got onto Walmart's one time, and we like kind of drove them nuts.
It's honestly like a really good job to have because you're just like
I loved that job.
It's like a nice environment.
It's like the Chick-fil-A of department stores.
Yes,
it's
and
but
it's
just
I fucking love Target. Like still, I just
yeah,
love going.
Like
there.
I can go and just browse and not buy anything and just like look at how all the products are aligned and like see all the different colors. Walk down the aisles and just like it just feels nice. Yeah.
I feel
like
you
it's
could
like
just
calming.
Walk around all day and no one will kind of know if you're working like or like
at Target.
Yeah,
I mean if you're on the floor your job is basically supposed to what's called zoning, which is like where you have to pull all the individual products to the front, so that's like
so it looks like a magazine.
Yeah, so it looks
I always
like
say
it's
that
super
like a
clean versus like Walmart and like other places don't really do that, but Target they have people specifically to like line up everything so it looks
like really
super
good.
Neat and you basically just walk your like five or six aisles every day and then you need to go – if you see someone browsing, you're supposed to go up and say, what can I help you find today?
Oh.
Which is
it's
like
actually, can I help you find something, Mike? But
is it?
Yeah.
Oh, you're right.
I still have my Target shirt. That's why I know that.
Can I help you find something?
Yes. I always
like – rather than going – than saying, how can I help you?
Because what you're doing is it's less stress on the person. They can just say no and leave them alone. If you say, what can I help you find? They're like, I need this or that. But if it's like you're engaging them that they need to respond.
Yeah.
But if you just say, can I help you find something? And they say no. End of story.
Yeah.
They can go about their day.
Right.
It's a really like nice way to present the option if you want assistance, but also very easily shut
or
it
what
down.
About like, what you looking for?
What the hell you doing here?
Yeah. It's a great job.
Sorry, Matt. So left out right now.
I know. I really wish I worked at Target.
It's so much fun. And
but did your Target have a grocery store? These are like some intense questions, but I'm actually generally curious. Some Targets didn't have grocery
I don't
sections.
Think mine did.
Mine did. It was the first Super Target and the biggest one in the country.
Oh, wow.
No way.
Yep. It's because our back room is so ginormous. That's what made it so big.
I feel like you still work at Target up here. Like,
and I'm like, get your 5% off Red Guards, guys.
Oh, but for the people listening right now, we're actually in Mike Sheffer's apartment right now.
Very cozy.
It's the first time Carly's been over here.
Yeah.
Carly is very kind and almost always offers to drive me home after we're hanging out at like David's or like your house or something at the end of the night. So she's been on the street like dozens of times, but has never actually been inside the apartment. So
it's
welcome.
Cute. I like it. It's
thank
very
you.
Cozy.
Thank you.
I'm surprised Mike hasn't offered you like a cup of coffee. Like, oh, you want to come up and have a cup
of
coffee?
Yeah, a little. That'd be weird though. If you're
like,
do you want to come in?
A.m.?
Yeah, I'd be like,
No, thank you. But you're a big coffee drinker though.
Sort of. I just drink cold brew in the morning. That's really it.
I can't have cold brew at all.
Why?
That gives me anxiety to the T.
It makes
me just like, there's no point in anything. This is like, I feel so motivated to do everything, but then I'm like, I don't want to do it. No.
Existential dread when you finish a cup of cold brew.
I don't know what it is. I like feel it in my chest, and then I'm just like doubtful of the world. I don't know.
Do you drink hot coffee?
I don't drink coffee at all.
At all?
No.
I wish. I like rely. I mean, I have to have it when I wake up. Otherwise, I get a really bad headache and stuff.
Yeah, it's a drug.
It's bad. Yeah.
But it's a functional like drug. I get why people like have to do it or whatever. But you, Mike, you're the same way. But you're not a cold brew guy.
I like the ritual of it too.
Oh, he
like,
goes all out.
Yeah, I
he
have the whole. I can show you the setup. God, but it's
the
like,
ritual of
it's like a chemistry class over there.
Okay,
there's
explain.
Beakers.
Yes,
there's measuring
tools. It's like an Erlenmeyer flask over there.
Yeah, I'm just like, are you making meth or coffee?
A Bunsen burner, a graduated cylinder.
You could probably make meth over there if you wanted to.
I just make coffee. Okay.
All right.
And it's fun.
I like that you like that.
Thank
it's good.
You.
Yes, I know. I'm supportive of it too. But I really have never even like had a cup of coffee over here. Maybe like once or twice.
I want to try one sometime.
I can make you guys a cup of Joe if you want after this.
Have you tried the coffee that I got you in Miami?
The espresso? So those are espresso beans. So
Matt knows nothing.
I'm just like, I can't do anything right.
No. I'm very thankful in that you are thinking of me, and he like brought me coffee back from Miami, but unfortunately
coffee.
Yeah, it's just espresso, which is just like, I don't really make espresso. You need an espresso machine. That's like where they do the thing and twist it and like.
Okay.
Anyway,
how much coffee do you think you drink a day?
Just one cup.
Oh,
one,
it's just
like
that
one thing
cold
of cold brew,
and it keeps you going.
Yeah, I just need it like for the morning. I could even just have probably a couple drinks of it, and I'd be good. But
okay.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah.
I think people think that Aaron and I are like obsessed with Starbucks and like go to Starbucks because we do all those videos, which like obviously I totally get what people think that, but I don't even really like Starbucks that much. I mean,
you're not trying
their cold
everything.
Brew is really good, but that's it. I don't really get anything else from there.
You don't try everything on the menu every single day.
Well, depends on the day. No, we don't. We just do that for videos, but I like doing that.
Coffee doesn't make you anxious at all?
It can. It hasn't in a really long time, though. So I think I'm just.
Oh, for me, it makes me like so anxious.
Does Red Bull do that to you too? Is it like
no.
caffeine or it's like coffee?
Red Bull doesn't really do it. It's cold brew coffee.
It's like
I think
because
like the edge I get on it, it's just like I just get the jitters. My hands start shaking and I don't know. I don't feel as like in control as I once do, and I get like scared.
That makes sense. I've been there with cold brew before.
You're right. Right. But like I guess like what I was saying like about like that anxious feeling, I don't even know how to transition it to it. But one of my favorite things, speaking of like anxiety, that I love about Carly is Carly's like the only other person like in our group who goes to therapy. Talk about this?
Yeah, of course.
I think it's awesome. And Carly, I can tell over like the past, you've been going to therapy for how long?
Years. I mean, I stopped going for a while, but a couple years.
But you have like such great qualities about you that I can tell that she's like picked up from doing therapy.
Thank you.
She's
like
a pretty well.
Like, tell me more.
What was it? Or I was venting to you recently about something that was going on, like in our friend group or whatever, and how I was feeling bad because I expressed my opinion about this, and someone was mad at me, and blah 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 blah. And you were like, Matt, you have every right to your opinion.
Yeah.
You don't need to feel bad about that. And I was like, yes. Exactly.
Yeah. I have that issue too. I think I'm good at talking about it because I also have that same issue. So it's
right.
Like, I don't want.
It helps you kind of affirm what you know to be the truth and what you've learned. And it, I don't know, it kind of like you practice kind of what you preach.
And I think we're the same way. We're actually really similar in this way where if either one of us is around a very strong personality, we kind of like coil back.
Yeah.
And we're like, no, you're right. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And we need to work on that.
Because like I apologize way too much.
Yeah,
but
you
lately,
do.
But the past. You, but I have gotten a lot better. I used to be like, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. Oh, I've been like that ever since I was like a child.
It was like a nervous tick for you. You'd be like, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry.
Oh,
I'm like,
I say I'm sorry to Mike so much.
It's unbelievable.
Is it because you're working together?
I like put my seatbelt on. He goes, I'm sorry. I'm like, I just put this. What are you sorry about? I don't know.
I always feel like I'm like disappointing him.
Never.
Or
you've literally
you really
never disappointed
me. No,
because
it's like usually it's just because I'm like stressed out about something and I will just be like, oh, I'm sorry. Like Michael have like a relax.
I'm sorry.
I did just do it right now.
We need to put like get a taser and every time you say it.
Mike was gonna give me a shock collar. Well, it wasn't because it wasn't because I was saying I'm sorry. It was because I kept saying like I'm gonna kill myself.
Oh my god!
But it was like a bad tick because I was in like a bad place. Like,
yeah, that was
a year ago where I would just get like so stressed and I'd be like, I'm gonna kill myself. Honestly, guys, I would never ever kill myself.
It was just like a way to vent out. Like I'm frustrated. I'm frustrated. I'm frustrated. I'm frustrated.
Yeah.
Oh my god! It was
you need to articulate it in the correct way.
Oh, it was terrible. And Mike would pinch me every time I said it to the point where it hurt me and I'd get so mad at him. But Mike, you'll have this like sigh, like just
this.
Yeah, like if he's just like sitting on a couch or like answering an email or something, and I always think it's like my fault that I'm causing him to sigh because he's frustrated with me because I'm just being like an anxious little bitch. But
you also like to say, "Are you mad at me?" Just out of nowhere,
all the time.
Like I understand because I do. Like if I'm just sitting next to someone and I'm just like,
yeah,
like you're like, "Are you serious? What's going on?" And I'm just like, "No, that's just me." Like it's for me. It's like meditative. I'm just like. Relax, breathe in and out. It's good. It's healthy. But what you guys were just talking about like, it's helpful to have someone like where you'll say to him, it's okay to express your feelings and you don't need to justify them.
Right.
A lot of like what I think therapy is for and what good friends are for is like to be a mirror to you, like to be an emotional mirror where it's like you can't tell if you have something on your face unless you like touch around and feel it. But like if you look in a mirror, you know exactly where it is. Good friends, good therapy is like an emotional mirror to hold up to you to like, if you know you have something on your face, but you can't find it and you look at a mirror, you immediately, oh, okay, that's what it was. And I know that was bothering me and I got rid of it.
Yeah.
But emotionally, it's like, you know, this thing to be true. You want it to be true. You want to feel like you're correct in what you're expressing. But unless you have someone to tell that back to you that you are correct, like you're never going to scratch that itch. But like someone like Carly to say, it's okay to feel those feelings or a therapist to say like, you're valid in feeling this way. Like, that's what I think the therapeutic benefits are to an extent.
Right.
I can't believe I'm your therapist.
Well, not my therapist, but just a person who kind of holds me accountable to the truths of, I don't know, knowing yourself and loving yourself and having that sense of dignity. And I do think it is important, yes, to have a close friend who you almost have that kind of like therapist relationship with.
Yeah.
But at the same time, though, that's the reason why having a therapist is so important, because there are things that like maybe you don't want to tell every single one of your friends about, or not to your friend. A therapist is a person who knows you on just a what's the word, like there's no bias or anything.
Yeah,
you don't have to play political games. You don't have to like worry about telling one friend because they may tell the other friend, or like it's just apolitical. There's no there's no repercussions for telling something to this person.
Yeah. Exactly. And that's where I think it's so important when I recommend to friends. I'm like, look, you can vent to your friends all you want, but sometimes it's going to be the most refreshing thing is when you're talking to someone who doesn't really know your friends. They only know you and they're looking out for your best interest and your mental health. And
also just has a completely different life perspective. Like we're all like, you know, young people living in LA doing internet stuff. But like to go and talk to someone who's just a doctor that's like 50 years old, that's heard a million stories, to share your ideas and thoughts with them. That's also just refreshing to hear different perspectives.
But have you gone to therapy?
No.
No.
I have friends that do, and I like talking to friends that go to therapy. I do think that there is like a transitive property of therapy, like where you'll utilize and share tools that you've used in, you know, examples with Matt or like friends that I have that go to therapy. Like, you know, I do believe everyone should go to therapy. I fully support it. I am also just like, I don't know how to find the right therapist and how to find a good one. Cause like, to me, that's like such a, like if you have a bad therapist or like someone that's not right for you, I feel like it could almost be worse than not having one at all.
Yeah. But I think you'd kind of know right away. You kind of,
Like, how did you find your therapist?
It was so long ago. I don't remember. I think I just Googled like therapist near me and then I read reviews and stuff and then I went and I really liked her.
Was it, did you like the first one you went to was the one, or did you like shop around?
Yeah. Yes. I had one in Omaha too. I forgot about that. I went for probably like 6 months, but
Once a week.
I don't remember. It was so long ago.
I'm saying
I
like now, like more or less you go once a week or once a month.
Now it's once a week. Yeah.
Wow.
And it's really nice. I like having that routine of like,
I haven't been to mine in a long time. Like I haven't been to mine in a year. I kind of do want to go back, but then I feel like I'm just going to like have to catch up.
A lot of
drama
to
with
up.
Her.
Yeah.
Like,
but it's good. I feel like you should go back. It's so helpful.
I do kind of miss her. Oh, but the reason why I haven't gone back, it was because I got new health insurance and she doesn't take mine. But she said she still wanted to continue working with me. But then I'm like,
she might be able to work with you.
Yeah, I think so. Maybe I will after this. But I think what the best thing about Carly, right when I was considering like getting a therapist, Carly was like the one close friend who was like, oh, I have a therapist. I've done it before. And I think that was like really reassuring and very, I don't know, beneficial into like giving me the confidence to like address that. One, it's normal to kind of to question your mental health and to care about it and to seek out somebody to help you keep it in check. Going to a therapist doesn't mean that you're crazy or that something is wrong with you. It's almost like you're actually being very smart because you're actually caring about yourself like a lot more.
It's like making fun of someone for going to the gym to work on their body. Like,
exactly.
If you want your body to be stronger, go and work it out and do something to make it better. If you want your mind and emotions to be better, go to a therapist and make it better.
There are people who who go their entire lives not going to therapy, and their life could have been, I think, completely different if they actually had, like, I don't know, addressed their mind a little bit more. Because a lot of people think if you go to therapy, something's wrong with you, or I don't need that. Like,
that's like a very dated mentality, I think. And I think that's obviously shifting, like, in our culture right now. And but I always think too, like, there's this quote that I like that says, a problem shared is a problem halved, meaning like cut in half. So like, even by just telling someone something, like, for what, I don't know what the like actual science behind it is, but like, even back to Freud, like, if you just tell someone something, talking is therapy. You say something and you don't have to hold it anymore, it just cut in half the weight of it immediately.
Yeah.
And then that's just like, just to say it out loud is like removing half the weight. And then if you can even dive deeper and like actually work with someone to figure out what the solution is, or just to think another perspective and like make yourself better, why wouldn't you do that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think have been like the most important like lessons, or I don't know, maybe even one thing that you've like really taken away from going to therapy?
Well, there's a lot, but I feel like I didn't realize until I was going to therapy that I do this, but I always assume that I'm not correct in an argument or opinion, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I always just assume the other person knows better. Even if it's an opinion, I'm like, oh, yours will probably be right then. And I don't know where that comes from, but we've worked on that a lot, where it's like, no, you're allowed to have an opinion. And my fear is like, but if I have an opposing opinion, what if we get an argument? And to me, it's like a whole other thing. My parents never fought. I've never seen them fight in my whole life.
Right.
And I was raised as an only child. I have a half brother, but we never lived together. And so now if I'm in an argument with somebody, or there could be an argument, I wasn't raised seeing people argue and then get through it and come together. So to me, it's like end of the world.
Yeah.
And I get like, so anxious, and I'm like, this person's mad at me. Even if it's something stupid, like, oh my God, someone could be mad at me for doing this.
So will you bring a specific conversation that you had into therapy and then dissect that, or it's more of a general? Oh, okay.
If something like happened that week, I will. But
yeah,
or we'll kind of just stumble into something that's going
on. Usually, your therapist can kind of identify where the weak point is, like, and then they'll go, okay, well, let's revisit that thing that you just talked about and kind of dig a bit deeper. And then they just,
because they're looking at it from like a mile high. They're like, they're just seeing all these dots that like seem maybe are not connected, or like for example, talking about your parents, how they never fought. Was that something that you had recognized before therapy?
No, never.
So like, you, by going and talking through this, that therapist helped you make that connection.
Yeah. And I didn't realize I had never seen them argue. I just thought it was a good, thing that they never argued. But then like in my last relationship, if we ever argued, I would retreat to my own, like, I wouldn't know what to do because I've never seen it happen. So I did work on that, where I was like, no, it's okay to argue, it's okay to be mad, and that's how you get stronger.
You have two parents, they've been together your entire life.
Yes.
Lucy and your dad's
John.
Name is John.
Lucy and John from Omaha, Nebraska.
My favorite thing is when like parents' names are like two syllables and one syllable. Like, my parents are Cindy and Jim. What are your parents' names?
Benny and Melissa.
Oh, wow. Well. Yeah.
It's the same ratio, just one more syllable.
It kind of is. It does kind of work. Benny and Melissa. Your dad was a firefighter.
Yep.
Your mom.
Stay-at-home mom.
She
became a paramedic. She got her license and everything, but she never worked as a paramedic.
Okay. So she would like pick you up and drop you off at school. Did you like having a stay-at-home mom?
Yeah.
Yeah?
I loved it.
And you love being an only child? Do you wish you had another sibling?
Yeah, I do.
If you did have a sibling, what would have been like your dream sibling? Like an older brother?
I feel like everyone says this, but I wish I had a twin.
A twin?
Really?
Yes.
I always want to have twins. That's my dream.
You want to have
twins? I want to have twins.
That's so scary
to
have twins.
Identical twins?
Identical twins. Oh, yeah, because I think they're adorable, and you get like two kids at the same time. Like, so you don't have to like have a baby and then let that baby get older and then have another baby and then do the baby thing again. And they stay... and they're pals, and there's like stimulation going on. Yeah.
Are you friends with any twins?
I have some twin cousins. Yeah.
Oh, so it's in the family a little
bit. Jared, he is a twin.
Jared who?
Ringel?
Oh, yeah, he does. He has a twin sister. But that's like, I think that when you're different, when it's like a boy and a girl twin, that's like not there's definitely something there, but I feel like they're more brother-sister relationship. And I'm talking about, like, identical twins. I don't know any, like, identical twins. I feel like that would be such an interesting friendship dynamic to have with two identical twins.
I saw two identical twins at the gym yesterday. And have you ever seen, like, identical twins that, like, match alike? Like, it's, like, almost like a lifestyle choice kind of a thing. It's kind of bizarre. No. Like, when I was in college, there were at least, like, three sets of identical twins who would wear the same thing or, like, complementing colors and would take, like, the same classes, like, look identical. You know, it's one thing to have, like, an identical sibling, but then to, like, share the same, like...
Like, to go full Wes Anderson with it and just, like, yeah, dress like the same and, like, be a character.
Yeah, be, like, a full constant mirror to one another. But these, like, two guys, they would look like they were in their 40s. Both of them had on, like, basketball jerseys and, like, matching hats, and they were on the elliptical together. And then, like, I walked in going, I looked at, saw them in the corner of my eye, I'm like, those two best friends are dressed very similarly. And then they, like, walked out of the locker room, and I was like, those are twins, and they're adults, and they're matching. Like,
maybe they're method actors, and they have a job that they're, like,
probably, it is Hollywood. It's probably, like, their shtick, maybe. Like, who knows? They're probably, like, some, like, comedy twin duo. I don't know.
Why would you want to be a twin, Carly?
I just think it'd be cool. There's no real reason. But I do think if I had siblings growing up, I would have developed characteristics that would be able to argue, and I just think I would be a different person, which maybe isn't a good thing. Then if
it would have been like you've been like the Olsen twins, like
yeah, Carly and her twin take Paris.
It's passport to Paris, I think.
Whatever, Matt. It'd be funny though if I had a identical twin, but she was the complete opposite of me.
Oh yeah.
Like, she's, would it be, I don't
Carly
know,
and
she's
Harley?
Like a doctor.
Would her name be like
Charlie?
Charlie and Carly. Oh man, that sounds like a Disney Channel show or something. Yeah. And your dad had, I love Carly's like home life, because I also love this thing. Her dad had an entire like pinball arcade.
Have you been to her house?
No, I haven't. But I remember like she just showed it casually on like a Snapchat story like a few years ago. And yeah, I always found it was really fascinating.
It was an unfinished basement with probably 100 video games and pinball machines. Like,
you didn't know this?
Oh, Pac-Man, Miss Pac-Man, Baby Pac-Man. And it's really funny because I was raised with it, so I never thought twice about it. But I would have friends that would come over for years. And then I'd be like, oh, wait, have you seen my basement? And they'd be like, no, what do you mean? And I'm like, oh, like there's video games down there. And they'd go down and be like, holy shit. Like everyone's reaction going down there is so funny.
Why does your dad like arcade games so much? Was he a big like arcade kid, and that's what kind of like,
I don't really know if he was an arcade kid, but he's very intellectual. He worked with computers for years, so he's really good at I don't know, hacking the mainframes. I don't know what the term is, but he would fix them, he would sell them, he would buy them. I don't know, he just collected them.
Which
just, like,
one's your favorite
hobby. I liked one called Asteroids.
Asteroids. This is a pinball one or a
that was like
an
arcade game.
Okay.
I didn't really get into pinball. Like, I played mostly just, like, the video games down
there.
Do
you think, though, you're, like, better than the average person when it comes to pinball?
No, I never, because I never really played it, actually, which sounds bizarre. I wish I had it, and
you
guys
could have become, like, a pinball wizard and champion, having access to all of that. Like,
I know, but I just wasn't that interested in it. Is that a thing?
What?
People are, like, is that a sport?
I'm sure.
A pinball wizard.
I feel like there's, like, a documentary about it, right? Like, the best pinball player in
the
world.
I go to the Olympics for playing.
Isn't there a movie called The Pinball Wizard? And it's
it's a
rock
song.
Musical.
Oh, it's a. I know it's a song.
But it's also a
so
segment
probably,
in a movie.
Yeah, it's probably also a movie. I'm not sure. My dad knows everything about that.
Does he like talk about it a lot? Like, did he like be like, oh, so this is where you wire the circuit to the CPU? Like, did he ever like talk about it with you?
No, I don't. I think he would rather die than try to explain that to me.
Oh, so go ahead.
Did Lucy ever like snap at him and be like, why? Stop buying the pinball machines. There's too many down there.
No. She's just like, it's his thing. It's his hobby.
Oh,
no,
that's
fine.
Cute.
I feel like we're very similar in that way. It's like, yeah, go do your thing. Yeah, it was never an issue. And they moved to Vegas, so he sold all of them and kept a couple. But I was like, are you sad about it? And he was like, no, I'm good.
Well, yeah, say goodbye to the pinball machines and say hello to all the slot machines that
Vegas
has. Wow,
he really
slot upgraded.
Our basement's all slot machines now.
Do you like
tables?
That your parents have moved closer?
Yeah, I like it a lot.
Rather than going all the way back to Nebraska and everything?
Yes.
You have a very like close relationship with your parents, it seems
like.
Yeah.
Do you talk to them like every day?
Not every day, but at least once a week or a couple times a week.
Like on the phone or text?
Yeah. I'll usually call my mom. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. My mom's like she watches everybody's videos, every
she does.
Podcast.
She keeps up with
really
all
everything.
Of
she
it.
Literally ordered a Vlog Squad pop socket that someone just made on Etsy. Like, she'll send me pictures. She's like, got my Vlog Squad pop socket. I'm like, oh my gosh.
Wow, that's so cool.
Yeah, she just cherishes everything like that.
Aww.
Like, if I send her merch, she'll wear it when I come into town. Just like stuff like that. It's cute.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
She was like the mom. Like, if you made like a painting when you were a kid, she would like immediately put it on the refrigerator. Yeah. Was she just so proud of you?
Yeah.
What was your like, did you play sports when you were younger? Did you have like a club or like an activity or?
Yeah, I played softball for like 8 years.
Softball?
Yeah, it was my favorite.
8 years?
Uh-huh. I was really young though. I was like middle element or
wait 8 years school. That if you well if you were playing at eight you finished when you were 16 so
okay maybe it was like six I don't
years.
Know it was a lot of years
okay
I'm just kind of
softball
guessing,
were you what position
I played I played right field and first a lot
right field
yeah and first base yeah.
I was left field and I did a little bit of short no I was
ooh,
catcher
shortstop.
I was a catcher
oh dangerous
yeah
did you like it
yeah I did like it until a ball, when I was batting, hit me right in my, like, knuckle, and it, like broke my finger. And then I hated it. I didn't like it anymore. And then I remember my coach, Coach Weaver, was, like, going, oh, my finger was, like, busted. I was in so much pain. He was, like, you still play ball. And I was, like, and I had to, like, throw and everything, and it was just terrible. And I was, like,
I'm literally crying.
I'm done with this. I'm done with this. And so softball. And then any clubs or sports that you played in high school?
No, I was like, I'm done with all that.
Really? No extracurriculars?
Yeah, not really.
When did you first dye your hair?
Sophomore year of high school. It was like bright orange. And it was funny because it was a time where like people weren't dyeing their hair colors yet, really.
Yeah.
And so everyone, like half the school was like, it looks so good. And the other half was like, why did you do that? It was like a very shocking.
I don't feel like anybody in my school had like crazy hair colors.
Yeah.
I think it was against the dress code too.
Oh, that sucks. I was always worried about that, but
I think you can only just do like black or like if you were going
like
to do
color.
Hair
natural
or
color.
Black
yeah.
or black, natural colors. Right. But I just remember like the scene or like emo kids were like,
oh yeah,
black.
Yeah. Like, Carly aggressive. And I went through her like, oh, remember we went through like your old Facebook photos
oh,
like
yeah.
a couple weeks ago. It was a rainbow, a rainbow of colors throughout the years.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so you went orange.
Well, it was supposed to be red, but it just came out really orange.
Was that inspired
cool.
by Hayley Williams?
Yeah, it was. It was this, like, exact magazine cover I saw, and I was like, I want my hair to look like that.
And you nailed it.
Yeah, it looked just like it, and then I just kept getting redder and redder, and then
And
I'm
then
blonde.
It just transformed into
pink.
To pink.
It just, like, faded to pink, yeah.
Oh, yeah, because it was, like, kind of, like, red, like... Well, like not maroonish, like magenta.
Yeah, it was actually that's a color I use. It's called
yeah,
magenta.
Magenta.
Do you like? Can you like identify or associate different periods in your life based on what color your hair was? Like, if you see an old photo or video, like, oh, that's when I was living in that house, or that's when
oh,
I was here.
Kind of, but I feel like it was mostly the same color for most of the time it was dyed.
It's like that red color.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there was a time before I found the dye that I always use that it would always fade to this like I hated. It was a copper color. And I would always just be like, I need to dye it right now. Like, I can't stand this stupid copper color. Because it wasn't vibrant and bright.
Would you do it yourself?
My mom would do it, yeah.
Aw.
Yeah.
How fun. She yeah. was so supportive of it. Like,
yeah,
mom, I want to dye my hair. She's like, let's do it.
I think they were just happy because I was kind of gothic before that. Like, I had black hair, stud belt, everything. And they're like, my daughter's going to be gothic. And it's funny because I won, like, student of the month in middle school. And I'm, like, all gothic, but I'm so smiley in the picture.
Student of the month.
Yeah.
In you high school?
It. No, this is middle school.
Middle school.
Mm-hmm. I could probably find the picture. It's
did you
really
do
bad.
Something that like...
I have
won,
no
won,
idea.
Won
I even was
over?
Like, what? No.
Oh, really?
I'm just amazing.
I was good kid of the month.
Good kid of the month? That sounds
DFW,
so lazy.
It was like Dallas Morning News, good kid of
that sounds like a
the
Chance
month.
The Rapper
or maybe
album
it was good kid of the week.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It was good kid of the week or good kid of the month. I don't know. But I was in the paper for being
okay,
a good
go
kid.
Off.
Did you win any high school superlatives?
Oh, yeah.
I don't think we had them.
So, no.
No.
You didn't? No superlatives? No, like most likely to?
Or
no.
Like most friendly or nicest car or I don't know, whatever they have there.
Mine was no. most likely to host a talk show. That I won that
oh,
one.
You were
you
most, and you're doing it right
still,
now.
Yeah.
I know. I'm,
wow.
doing, I'm finally living up my high school superlative. In reality, right now. But I was also, I mean, I'm totally bragging. I was homecoming prince,
oh,
sophomore.
Prince.
And junior year. So like,
what is Prince?
King is only for seniors.
So King's only for seniors, but there would be like a whole court nominee election, not election, but yeah, like a whole nominee process every year. So there'd be the homecoming king and queen, and then every grade, freshman, sophomore, juniors, would have a prince and princess. And oh. I won sophomore and junior year. I was very proud about that.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I was
Were you a popular kid?
I think I was like, yeah, like a popular kid, sure. But I was friends with like everybody.
Did you guys have like the high school movie experience where like there's the bullies, there's the jocks, there's the cliques? Like my high school was just, it was just like us. Everyone's just super nice. Everyone gets along.
Great.
There's no cliques.
But you went
to
kind of a smaller
school. Regular high school. There's like, I don't know, 500 kids in my grade. Like,
I
went to a Jewish high school for 1 year. And
that
was like 30 people in the grade. And that was a different story. But like, and I don't know, maybe it's like a New Jersey thing, or maybe like, I didn't understand those movies where it was like you'd see the big kids shoving someone in the locker, or like,
yeah,
just like, who's doing that? Why were you?
I don't know. I don't think I ever saw that either.
My high school was pretty cliquey, but I was like friends with every clique.
That's kind of how I was too.
Yeah, I feel like really you, I feel like you probably got along with everybody in high school, right? There wasn't like,
yeah, I had a bunch of different groups.
Like, yeah,
no, I mean, there was definitely like the popular kids, but I don't think they were mean. I feel like we all just,
yeah,
like, hey. I mean.
And
maybe I'm just wasn't a part of like any of that.
You just missed everything.
So maybe I missed it. I don't know.
Are you going to go to Coachella this year?
I don't think so.
Of course you're not. Carly never goes to Coachella.
Oh,
you never do. You
I
never
know.
Do.
I just don't think I would enjoy. I would love the hangout part, but
I don't see you like sharing a room with three people up till 5 in the morning.
This
like
is the thing too, and it's the one thing I need, and I'm like bougie about. I need my own room to sleep in everywhere I go. Like, I cannot sleep if other people are in the room.
You just tweeted about this. Like,
I did,
yesterday.
Yeah, because I was thinking, because I was watching Reality House, and I was like, there's no fucking way I would ever be able to sleep here. Like,
you
they're
can't
all
sleep
in the
another
same
person
room.
In the room.
I can't, unless it's like one person, like if it's Aaron or Mariah or someone I shared a bed with. Like, I don't mind that as long as they're like in bed. Like, not making noise. I don't know. I am such a light sleeper. If somebody's moving around, I'm, like, awake until they're in bed. Like, I share.
I think this is your only childness coming out.
I think like, it. Well, yeah. My mom's the same way, though. She's the lightest sleeper. But we're in Big Bear. I shared a room with Natalie, Todd, and Zane. And I kept hearing Todd, like, coughing. And I was like, I probably didn't go to bed till like, 5 a.m. because I just kept hearing him fucking cough. And I started yelling at him in the morning.
But you, like, sleep on the couch, like, at David's house, like, all the time when we're all, like, hanging out.
I don't fall asleep.
Oh, you never like hardcore sleep and you're just closing your eyes?
I can't fall asleep unless I'm like in a bed. It's really annoying.
You can't sleep on like a plane or
no,
in a car?
No, and that's fucking annoying too, because when I travel with them, we could do college shows or whatever, they book the most annoying flights at like 6 a.m.
But you'll wake up, it's like 4 a.m.
Yeah, and then I cannot
and
sleep.
And you're so tired and
yes.
You sit on a plane and it's quiet and you just are awake?
Yeah, and I try everything. I'll put a sleeping mask on. I'll put like a fan noise in my headphones. I'm not even kidding. And I'm so fucking frustrated the whole time.
Have
and
you
that's
tried like a sleep meditation, like a guided sleep meditation?
Have you tried Ambien?
No, I should. I need a horse tranquilizer.
Have you heard about like Ambien? Like if you like take it and you stay up, you like start
hallucinating.
You start going on Amazon and you start buying like.
Well, you just literally, it's like you go into a blackout state. Like you are not.
That's
but
terrifying.
You're not drunk, so you have like your facilities where it's not like you're impaired, but you were just you're not present. Like you don't remember any of it.
Oh, that's terrifying.
Aren't,
we all
you
do
get,
it for
like,
video.
Weird cravings, like people make like salt sandwiches on Ambien and like
sounds
buttered
like David.
Cigarettes.
Salt
yeah,
and
you were telling me about this. Like people butter, like eat cigarettes with butter on them or something.
Yes,
ew.
This is like a common symptom that like people have like quoted or have reported about being on Ambien. Salt sandwiches, which also is just bread, salt, and bread, and eating it.
That's
ooh,
it.
I like that.
Yeah.
Ew. I love salt.
Should we try it right now?
You never well,
salt sandwich.
You never have like a nice piece of toast and put some like bread, like salt on it.
I know, but I'm thinking like if an Ambien salt sandwich is just like
raw
opening
bread.
Up kosher salt and just like pouring it like
oh like enough
like
to make
sugar
it, like, a yeah like a condiment
yeah.
I feel like there's probably a TikTok account that someone posts while they're on Ambien doing something like that.
Ooh. I don't even know if you'd be on Ambien being able to open up.
It's gonna
TikTok.
Show up now. It's gonna show up on our feed now that we're talking
it is.
About it.
Dude, TikTok has been listening.
Ambien Eats, the account is called
Ambien Eats.
And it went like this.
Oh my god. Tutu. And they're just eating salt. They're just pouring salt in their mouth, eating cigarettes.
So Ambien wouldn't work to get you to go to sleep.
I mean, it definitely would, but then I'd be fucked up the rest of the day.
Do you like, have you tried like weighted blanket?
Not on a plane. but I feel like that's
yeah, you're not going to show up to the airport with a 45-pound
blanket.
Yeah.
Well, airplanes are the worst for me, though, because, like, even an exit row, that's, like, the most, like, generous space I can get, but sometimes it's still not enough. I can never get comfortable on a plane.
Yeah, it's tough.
You need to be, like, I think anybody needs to be extremely tired to just fall asleep sitting upright in a chair.
Yeah.
But I feel like if you wake up at, like, 4 a.m, if you're going to bed at 1, your body's just going to, like, shut
I know.
Down.
I've been able to pass out a couple times. If I'm, like, really exhausted, I will, but it's really frustrating.
What do you do on airplanes? What's your airplane routine? What do you bring? What do you do?
Here's my airplane routine. I usually listen to a podcast or I'll edit.
Do you bring a water bottle with you? Do you bring a Nintendo Switch?
No. I kind of want to get one, though.
Get a Switch, and we can, like, play with each other.
But we can play with each other.
We can, because I've had a Switch, and I was so lonely playing it because none of my friends had Switches.
So sad.
I have a Switch, yeah. I play with my friend Derek all the time.
What games do you play?
Usually just Rocket League, but I have Mario Kart.
Mario Kart?
What?
Mario Kart.
He's from the East Coast. They say Mario.
People on the East Coast say Mario.
A lot of them say Mario.
I think so.
I've heard it a lot. And I always want to
say, it's me, Mario.
No. But because if you say Mario, it's like it's almost like you're making fun of it.
Okay. Well, I really want to play Minecraft. So.
Oh, yeah. What is your thought that's going to happen when you start playing Minecraft? Then you're going to like just get really into it?
I want to just go explore worlds that people have already made.
What is Minecraft? I don't even know what Minecraft is.
Like,
really.
People have made like London. Like. Oh. On Minecraft that you can go explore. I'm pretty sure. I don't know. I want to like imagine that
I feel like we sound like a bunch of boomers talking about TikTok.
I know.
I think they just like make videos Cities. That their friends watch, but like other people can see them. I don't like.
It's like Instagram kind of.
But yeah, you should get a Switch.
I know. I want to play Roller Coaster Tycoon on Twitch really bad. I feel like that'd be fun for me to like.
I
have people watch it.
Do you play Roller Coaster Tycoon?
Oh,
Carly I did. For
is a yeah.
Talk
a
about
connoisseur,
it.
A tycoon connoisseur. What
unload,
do you like?
Unload.
I mean,
what
I
do
have
like the
tweets,
most?
Like on my time hop, it'll be from like 7, 6, 5, 4 years ago, and they're all about like roller. Like it'll show up Roller Coaster Tycoon.
She's probably
tweets.
Tweeted about Roller Coaster Tycoon like over 150 times.
Matt's looked it up too. It's really funny.
If you just put like at Carly and Contra Roller Coaster Tycoon, all of her old tweets come up, and it's.
I remember the game
alarming,
and I remember playing it.
Uh huh.
But. Can you just describe like what the game is and
okay.
what the objective is and how you play?
Yes. So you basically, how I like to play it is you build your own theme park. So you get land and like an entrance.
So they give you land to start.
Yes.
Okay.
And they give you a budget. You can take a loan from the bank. It's not that deep though. You know, you just take a loan. And you start building, you can either build like custom coasters. This is like my podcast. You can build custom coasters or there's like a lot of pre-built ones, which I like to do because I am really not good at building custom roller coasters. Say you can like put down a coaster. You have to make a path from that coaster to like the main path so people can get there. And you have to build kiosks, like bathrooms, sandwich stops, drinks.
And your budget gets taken down every time you put something new in?
Yeah, your money goes down, and then you can raise the price on certain things. Like if I do a,
how do you charge? Like, do you do like a Six Flags style where like you
it's
charge them
entrance.
On the admission, and then all the other rides are free?
I think
that's
they determine
my...
that before.
Huh?
I think they determine that like whichever park you choose. I think
you can still charge people for entering on Roller Coaster
Tycoon,
and I think you can charge
you
for
can.
The bathroom.
You
can and
charge
you can
for the
still
bathroom.
Charge for rides.
So it's like running it like a business. That's the point of the game.
It is kind of. And so there's an objective, and it's like by the end of October year 4, so the years go by, it's probably like every 30 minutes is a year or something like that.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it's like you have to have 1,500 guests in your theme park and a rating above blah, blah, blah.
And what do you
else.
Do as the player to hit that goal? Are you just like making sicker roller coasters?
Yeah, you just
like...
have to keep the customers happy.
Pretty much.
You have to get handymen, like, is it handymen? Yeah, handymen to clean up vomit because people throw up on the paths.
Yeah.
Oh, so
you
like,
have to make sure it's clean. You have to make sure that there's pathways going to certain places.
You
have to
get,
make sure
like,
there's maps.
Mascot characters to like walk around and
entertain
stuff
them.
And entertain them.
So they'll give you like problems to solve. Like,
well, you read the reviews.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It'll like alerts will pop up and be like, Crazy Mouse has broken down. Make sure you get it fixed, and then you have a mechanic go clean
wow.
it. Go fix it.
Yeah,
yeah. It's really fun.
Now,
I like
do
it
you
all.
When you play Roller Coaster Tycoon, are you starting a brand new park every time, or are you revisiting a park that you've already made and just running it?
Yeah, I mean, I start with a new one, and then I'll keep going back to it once the objective is.
Are
done.
You playing music as well, are you just listening to the constant, like,
Yeah, I love it.
Oh my God. It's like, that shit'll drive you crazy if you've played for hours. But you feel like God.
Do you still play?
I can't. Well, okay, so I really like only playing Roller Coaster Tycoon 2. And the third one is like way too real looking. And the second one's really shitty looking. And it's really fun. I don't know. I love the parks in it too. And you can only play it on a PC. But I think it doesn't work anymore because the PCs are too updated for the
They
CDs.
Need to bring it back.
I feel like
I
we
know.
Can.
You, I mean, you they
can,
have it on like iPad and stuff. You can play it, but it's just newer and like more. I don't know. It just looks not as fun. Yeah.
You could also like just do a thing that where you get Windows on your Mac and then you can like boot it up so you have Windows running on your Mac and then you can install it.
Could I stream?
You played it recently though, right?
Not really.
Oh.
I got it a couple years ago.
What were the other tycoons? Is there other tycoons?
There's Zoo Tycoon. There's Mall Tycoon.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Zoo Tycoon, Mall Tycoon.
I tried Mall Tycoon. I was like, what the fuck
is that? Wasn't there like a skateboard tycoon, too? Like you make skate parks?
Maybe. It's fun. I love that game.
Yeah. I used to play Tonka. Do you remember Tonka?
Tonka? No.
Like the truck?
Like the truck. Yeah. And they would make like toy trucks, Tonka trucks. And then there was like, it was a construction building for kids.
I've never heard of that.
Well, I played that, and Putt-Putt Saves the Zoo.
Putt-Putt Goes to the Moon.
Putt-Putt Saves the Zoo.
Putt-Putt Saves the Zoo.
We already went through this before. Putt-Putt Goes to the Moon. You know this game, Putt-Putt Goes to the Moon?
No.
It's like a little purple car, and he goes to the moon. Oh. Matt thinks he saves the zoo, though.
Sounds cute.
Is it two different games?
They're two different games.
Oh, okay.
I just didn't play Putt-Putt Goes to the Moon.
All right, let's talk about the future.
The future?
Yeah.
Like the future, like when we're like parents and stuff?
Sure.
Or like 1,000 years from now.
No, like our future.
Our future.
Yeah.
Well, I think we all know where you're going to end up, Mike.
Where?
Jail.
Oh. Doubt
I'm
it.
Kidding. No.
Carly.
Yes.
Where do you see yourself in 5 years? No, I'm kidding.
Oh,
that's
God.
Not
I hate that question.
I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I know. It's the worst question. I know. What are you excited about for the future?
Nothing. No, I'm kidding. You're like, oh, my God.
Carly, what are you excited about?
I don't know. I feel like we've been getting really cool opportunities, like Aaron and I, so far. And I'm excited to see what else we're going to be able to do.
Like brand opportunities?
Brand opportunities, like working with, like we worked with MTV a little bit last year, which was really cool. Because like you grew up watching MTV. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just excited to see where else that's going to go. And like what else we're going to do. Because I don't know. We're trying to think too of like more solid things we can do for videos sometimes. Because that, like, we did a video with Mariah that was her teaching us a whole dance, and that was a whole video. Matt filmed it, and that was such a fun video because it's like, we don't know how to do it.
Something new.
Yeah, so I like doing that. I also, I don't know, it's interesting. I was talking about this in therapy, actually. I thrive on, like, problem solving, and like algebra. If you gave me algebra problems, I could do it all day, like, doing that. And I don't really have that with our job.
What?
So I am trying to figure out, like, what else I can do to, like, work that part of my brain, I guess.
You like doing algebra problems?
I mean,
Like, you find
like puzzles? You like doing puzzles?
Yeah, it's like puzzles or, like, word scrambles or something. I like, or even something so simple as someone at Target, like, calling and being like, do you have this product? And figuring out if you have it, figuring out where it is, putting it on the them. I love doing that. So
I get what you mean completely. And that's why sometimes I miss college. I miss writing essays.
Like process-oriented problem solving.
It's probably different than you. You probably don't
Writing
rather
essays.
But I miss someone telling me what I have to write. And then like me doing research and like coming up with an argument and putting that together. And like, die. Like
just
I love
like
that.
Using your creativity in a structured way that like has a definite answer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Where it's not like we just need to upload a video. Like saying we need to upload a video, that's like a very open-ended problem to solve. And it'll get solved. But like what you're saying is you like the rubric of having a definite end and ways to get there that you can follow through.
Yeah. So like doing even homework and stuff is almost kind of that format. Like I have to.
But I guess like learning to do stuff is like. Like you said, learning to dance or like learning how to make sourdough bread or like
things that just enrich yourself and soul.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I need to
like,
figure out
learn
more
how to
things
knit
like that.
So bad.
You want to learn how to knit?
Knit.
Oh, interesting.
Because
so easy, I feel like. Just watch a YouTube tutorial and like get the stuff.
You're right.
Yeah,
Carly.
But you have to do it. You have to go through the process.
Because I think it's like a fun, like, mindless thing to do while you're like sitting there watching TV that also at the same time you're making like a little scarf or a little blanket that you can give to a loved one. Like it's like, I don't know. It seems like a productive use of like wasting your time.
Yeah.
Instead of
scrolling.
But
you're also, you're working your brain and
yeah. And you're just, You're making something, it keeps you busy.
It's also weird because doing videos has always been my hobby and like the thing that I get excited about. And now it's my job, which is great. But it's like, what do I do outside of that? That's something I kind of struggle with. Because
pottery.
Like, pottery.
Get into pottery.
Well, did you like the dance thing?
I did. I don't particularly want to dance.
You wouldn't want to go back?
No.
Just like go start taking dance classes?
I mean, it would be fun. I don't know. I mean, it's just like, because I feel like all day I'm with Aaron or we're at David's or whatever. And I feel like I'm doing something because we're trying to think of ideas or I don't know. Even just like being around David, it's like, oh, maybe he'll film something. And that's like,
there's enough excitement.
Quote unquote work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there's enough excitement that you don't need to like choose to have a specific outside thing. Just making videos is enough to keep you.
Yeah.
Like,
but then
occupied.
I'm like, but what are my hobbies now? Because forever it was just making videos, which I guess it still is my hobby.
Yeah.
But I don't have anything really outside of it where like if I go home, when I go home, I'm usually like pretty content and I'll catch up on shows or watch YouTube or something. But yeah, I don't know.
I like that about Todd, that he like wanted to learn how to play piano.
Yeah,
and
me
just started
too.
Taking piano lessons and like
Todd's the king of doing that.
Like, and then he wrote a book.
Himself.
Like, yeah,
he wrote
like
a whole book. Yeah.
Like I remember 2 years ago, he was like, "Damn!" Like I was like playing guitar or something. He's like, "Damn, I want to learn how to play an instrument." I was like, "Just start taking lessons," and then he did.
Yeah.
And
so
now
sick.
He went on a tour. Like that to me is like super inspiring. But yeah. I think it's like you just have to find something that you definitely want to do.
Yeah.
And then do it. So like Matt wants to learn to knit.
Should go for it.
I know. Right now, I was actually thinking, like, wait, there's the knitting store that's just down the road. And
yeah.
I went and bought some sticks and some chunky yarn. Apparently, you need to start with chunky yarn.
Chunky yarn.
Yeah.
Because
like
you can,
thick.
Like, the real thick yarn, because you can, like, see it better and it doesn't get as, like, tedious as it would with skinnier yarn.
And you can, like, see the actual, like, patterns you're doing.
Yeah.
Versus if they're super small.
All right. So, wait. I'm going to go get some yarn. I'm going to start knitting.
Ooh, all right.
So, you don't like dance.
I don't like.
Let's find Carly a hobby today.
I do want to learn sign
pottery.
Language. I really want to learn sign language.
Oh.
Really?
Yes. I feel like that's so important.
Don't you have a deaf relative?
No, I don't have any deaf relatives.
So you don't know how often do you interact with the deaf person?
I don't. I just think it's so interesting. I don't want to do it for the novelty of like, I know sign language. I just think it's an interesting thing to learn, and I think it'd be helpful in certain
I don't understand why it's not taught in school. Like, it is such a useful form of
communication. Well, right now, ASL?
Like if we all had ASL, it would be like, if you want to communicate at night when people are sleeping. Like, and
yeah,
be,
I know.
Like
why is not the whole world learning the same ASL, and then we could all communicate with anybody.
ASL definitely beats whispering as a form of communication.
Yeah,
100%. But like, if you
that's actually a really good point.
Like, why are we not? Everybody should learn ASL.
Yeah, but there's also it's only ASL is because it's American Sign Language.
I mean, I think it's still cool to just
talk about it.
But like, even to say I want to go learn ASL opens you up to this whole new world. So like, taking the first step in any hobby that you do will like lead to more opportunities for you to find things to do that you enjoy and like.
Be good.
Well, I just want to say, guys, I love both of you so much.
Oh,
you two are some of the closest people in my life that I care for.
Just kidding.
So much. Words can't even describe how much I care about you guys and how much it means to me that you guys are sitting down with me and doing this podcast. And Carly, thank you so much.
Of course.
For,
you're one of my best friends.
Yeah.
I like talking to y'all.
And yeah, you're definitely going to be back for multiple appearances in the
great.
Future.
I love that.
And thank you to all of you listening. I hope that you've enjoyed this episode. I hope that you have a fantastic week. Please subscribe, leave a review, tell your friends about this. This is just the beginning of a great long journey with Hoot and a Half, the podcast.
Hoot and a Half is what it's called?
Yeah.
Oh,
it's Hoot and a Half.
That.
It's
That's
Hoot and
so
a Half
Matt.
With Matt King.
That's so Matt.
And
is it your guys' podcast? Or is it Matt and like you're helping? Or is
he's
it
just like a
co-host.
Got it.
Like,
okay,
yeah,
cool.
Yeah. And yes, we will see you next time. Much love. And
sayonara, suckers.
Sayonara.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is
Dariana. We call him Day-Day for short.
Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.